I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Welcome, everybody, to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman, joined by my man, Dan Rose, and in his car, that devoted to the cause, Mr. Dion Harrison. Now, fellas, I got news last week, you know, I'm going to just delve into this, that Dan's mom laughs hysterically every time I imitate Dan as the whitest dude in the world. Now,
it's nice of you to bring that
now,
up.
Now, once again, Dan shouldn't tell me things, and he tells me them. Because when he tells me them, I'm going to take them tenfold and really give it to him. So, you know, this whole intro, I might be doing the Dan Rose voice.
He messed up. He messed up bad.
The problem is I forget that during the week from Wednesday, from about 1 to 5, Evan Showman is not my friend. The rest of the week, solid gold. But during these hours. Mom, if you laugh and stop. Don't laugh at that.
She can't even tell who's talking now.
Oh, God.
I can't tell. Is that my son Dan? Is that Evan imitating Dan? I can't tell.
Me either, Mom.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck.
Right? Your mother listens to this with that profanity mouth you have?
My mom knows me, man. She knows that I'm a sailor when it comes to the language.
I curse like a sailor.
God damn it, Evan.
I know.
Although, hey, guys, last night, I just want to throw this out here before Evan makes fun of me some more. I beat Dion and Evan at Worlds with Friends, so.
Must have been cheating.
I know. Must have.
No, I did. I beat both of you, and it felt good. I will say this, though. I did take a colossal 200-point beating from Dion because he played a word for 103 points.
That's right, I did.
Fucker.
And he's never looked better, Michael.
I guess not.
That's fact.
Yeah, I've been. I don't know what Dion's problem is. I mean, I've been whipping his ass. Like,
you know why? It's not me. It's the fucking letters that I'm getting.
441 to 268. Are you?
Ugh.
Yeah, it was rough out there for a man.
We tried the one before.
Oh, really? Really?
423 to 350.
Well, why you gotta rub it in?
Evan and I had a classic battle. It was like 346 to 344.
Yeah.
481 to 270, Dion. What in
Ooh.
The hell?
You're God, a damn. Cheater. You're a cheater.
You're a cheater.
I use my brain. I'm a cheater.
Man, your brain's cheese.
That's a big brain on Brad.
Look at what Dan beat me. Look at, he beat me 346 to 344, the motherfucker.
Yeah, Dan.
It was a great match.
No, it was, fuck that.
He just kept coming with body shots, and I'm just like 5 E's trying to get rid of him and just putting him in just perfect placement for him to get another 60-point word, and oh, it sucked.
It was basically all the best things that have ever happened.
But,
that was Dan's WrestleMania victory.
But I'm beating.
It was. That was my WrestleMania moment.
I'm winning right now against Dan, 72 to 44, and I have a Z and a Q in my possession.
Oh,
I might be in trouble, ladies and gentlemen.
He's like,
I played Loco yesterday, and he beat me.
I'm beating the shit out of him right now, too.
God, Evan is brutal, man.
He
doesn't.
Motherfucker, so stop playing in the middle, though.
Well, sometimes I got shit to do. But last night, dude, I had games going on with you and Loco, like, simultaneously that was like, Turn. It was awesome.
I know.
There's literally like 30 seconds between each play. It was money.
That's where I was at. I'm beating Ryan right now, 367 to 249.
Jeez.
And, but I got four E's on deck.
That's rough. Yesterday I had the game with Dion. I had four U's and I traded him in and got three I's and an E.
That's bullshit.
I was like, God damn it.
Words of Friends is a motherfucker.
It is. But, I mean, we could spend all show talking about Words of Friends, and I would be fine with that. But before we get into MMA and UFC and WWE stuff, Dion.
What's up?
This is before that, though.
Let's talk about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, fuck yeah, Dan. That's my dude. My dude.
60 points.
Yeah, because everyone was saying, oh, he's going to suck. Oh.
Well,
no,
let's,
no,
not,
hey,
let's not get us going,
I didn't
because
say
Evan
he was,
and I got into a little war.
I didn't
over
say
this.
He was going to suck. I said he was going to shoot 70 times.
You did say
and
that.
He shot 50.
You said
was
they were going to treat him like he was a retard kid in like the high school games.
And they did.
You did say that.
And they did.
For the whole game, though. They let him shoot every shot. Ow. They passed to him everywhere.
Foul.
The more impressive thing to me than the 60 points, because... And you know, you should score 60 if you take 50 shots.
Yes.
Was the fact that he led that team back from a 14-point deficit, like, in the final 2:46.
Okay, for the supposed top whatever player that he is of all time, he should be able to do that.
He should do that
in his last ever game as a professional.
He's what?
Who are you asking, me or Dion?
You, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, and he did do that in his last game as a professional.
Okay. How's he doing in the playoffs right now?
He's watching like everybody else.
Watching it like a lot of other people. But, again, this is the thing. You can respect Kobe's final game and what he did without, you know, having to love Kobe. You don't have to, like, shit all over him, Evan. If you don't like Kobe, that's cool. But his last game was, as a basketball fan... was spectacular to watch.
Did you watch Kobe's game, or did you watch the Warriors?
I watched Kobe's game.
No, I didn't watch Kobe's game. I watched the Warriors.
Well, full disclosure, I watched Kobe on the TV and the Warriors on the laptop.
Warriors game was over at halftime.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, that's my team from when I was young, so it's a big deal to me.
Man,
so
73 wins, that's really impressive.
It is.
It's pretty much the most impressive thing to ever happen to a team.
But if they don't win the championship,
it don't mean shit.
Doesn't mean jack shit. It's like the Patriots going undefeated in the regular season.
Don't put that evil on them, Dan. Don't you put that evil on them.
I'll try not to. But I love the Warriors. That's my team growing up. I love the Warriors, and I'm a fan also of the Oklahoma City Thunder because they were the Sonics, and I lived here, and I used to go see them a lot. But Warriors first. And then everyone
that
else.
That game, the other night was crazy. Was it last? No, Monday night. When they lost.
Yeah.
Who lost?
The Thunder.
Thunder.
On the last second buzzer beater that got waved off.
Yeah, that was a close shot. It was the right call, though. But that's all. I just wanted to get that out of the way because I knew it was
a
big
deal
for Dion. It's a good way. We talk Words with Friends. We talk with Kobe.
And let's
and now
get into Conor McGregor.
Yeah, give the show back to Evan. Evan, take us where you'll take us.
Why do I got to take us? Of all the people that care about Conor McGregor, it's like I'm the last person to give a shit.
All right. Here's the thing with Conor McGregor as far as I'm concerned. I don't care personally about Conor McGregor that much either. But it's to me, I think that it's an interesting news story just in the fact that when Conor McGregor initially tweeted, hey, you know, I decided to retire young, thanks for the cheese, catches later, you know, which was a pretty good tweet, I thought immediately, okay, whatever, it's a hoax, it's stupid. And then Dana White shows up on SportsCenter and says, we've pulled him from the UFC 200 card, he refused to do promotional stuff, he refused to fly in to do the commercial, you know, nobody's above that,
that's
blah, blah,
blah. Crazy.
I'll just say this, Conor McGregor is above that. If Conor McGregor, after all he's done for the UFC in terms of saving shows, basically after their other cash cow, Ronda Rousey, got head kicked into, you know, obscurity, he has basically been the UFC's meal ticket. And if he wants to say, hey, you know what, I don't want to go to Stockton to do a press conference, I don't want to go to Vegas and New York. I'll be out there for the commercial in L.A., whatever. The UFC should just say, fucking fine.
What?
We owe you this one. Yeah, I mean, the UFC's cutting off their own nose despite their face.
Man, okay. Cena would never do that to WWE. That's all I'm saying.
Do, 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 do. He just dropped knowledge on you right
never
there.
Never do that.
That's a fact. He would not do that. But if John
he's
Cena
above,
said, hey.
He's above all that shit, too. He's like the best, one of the best ever. And I hate Cena, but he would never do Vince like that.
You don't hate Cena.
Well,
stop it.
You don't hate Cena. Don't say that. Don't put that out there. Don't put that in the universe. But if John Cena said, hey, you know what? I'm in Iceland. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I can't make it for this one. There's no way that Vince would say, we're pulling you from WrestleMania, kid.
That's true.
And the situation is different because John Cena doesn't actually have to physically, you know, fight anybody. He's a sports entertainer. Conor McGregor is training right now, and he just doesn't want to leave Iceland to come do these promotions. And who the fuck wants to go to Stockton anyways?
Stockton, motherfucker.
If you're Conor McGregor, do you want to go to Stockton?
You want millions of dollars, and you got to do what your company wants you to do.
Yeah, but he's got millions of dollars.
Does he? Does he, Dan?
Of course he does.
Dan, does he?
Yes, he does.
Dan.
Why are you assuming he doesn't?
I'm assuming that he's blowing through a lot of his money very quickly.
Oh, I don't think he's blowing his money. Did you see the house he bought? It's not like an outlandish mansion by any stretch of the imagination. All the cars that you see him in the United States are rentals. The Rolls-Royce Phantom, the Lamborghini, he rents those when he's in the U.S. He doesn't own those. His personal car that he drives is a BMW in Ireland. I mean, he's made probably in excess of $10 million this year in the UFC. I think financially he's probably okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he is right now, but he ain't quitting. Come on. Come on. Yeah, I know he's not going to be quitting. He's too... If anything, he's quitting the UFC. But,
yeah,
you know, Dana went on record saying, oh, no, everything's fine between us. It's just he didn't want to do that shit, and that's just not how we roll. I get it.
There's more to it than that, though, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean...
I don't know either, but...
is there?
I mean, we had a...
Maybe, but...
Yeah.
Do I know? No, I don't.
No, it's all speculation. The only people that really know are inside the UFC and Conor McGregor and his guys. Everyone else is speculating, and that's fine. But what we do know is that he's out of UFC 200 so far. And, you know, I thought it was weird that Dana White was on the herd today and said that if he called him today and said, hey, you know what, I'll do the promotion, he'll be put back on UFC 200.
Yeah. Funny how
I thought that was
works.
Yeah. So who knows? It's the biggest story in MMA right now. You know, good, bad, or indifferent, so it bears talking about. But, yeah, I think the UFC's kind of screwed themselves in this deal. They let Conor McGregor get way too powerful.
Yep.
And now the only way for them to check him is to do what they're doing, and it's going to cost them a lot of money to do so.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have one top guy.
That's exactly right.
I don't know, whatever. I don't really care. Again, like...
Well, how is it that you don't care that the biggest name in the biggest organization in a sport that you care about so much that you have a radio show devoted to it, how is it not an interesting story to you? How do you not care about that?
Because I don't care about other people's business. Like I'm not a reporter. You know, I mean, you know how.
That's true.
You know, like, this, I don't care about, like, spreading messages to people and letting them know and, like, trying to get clicks. I mean, well, yeah, I want people to like our Twitter page because I want people to listen because eventually I would like to get some sort of compensation for doing this magic. But aside from that...
Yeah, that's likely not going to happen. The magic needed to get a lot better first.
Oh.
Right now you're at, like, Alakazam level. We need you at David Copperfield level.
Motherfucker, start making moves. Start making calls.
Really? Are we going to have this conversation?
Man, it's on you, man. I'm just the talent. That's why they fuck up.
Yeah. Speaking of talent, where's my fucking banner?
They fly me in to do this show.
That's true. That's our whole budget, to fly Evan in to do the show.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I want the extra, I want that money you know.
That private jet isn't free, Evan, that we fly you in every week.
I know, too. I know. But you know what? I'm worth it. Goddamn right.
That's true. You are. Hands down, you are.
If it wasn't for me, no one would be listening, but everybody listens because I'm on the show, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why my mom listens.
That is probably why your mom listens.
Don't talk about my mother.
You shouldn't have talked about your mother.
That's true.
You shouldn't have told me your mother thought I was funny. Josh.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Josh Barnett's mother thinks I'm funny, too. What you going to do about that? I love it. I love mothers love me.
Evan is the talent, Dion.
Evan's just a great, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. I was going to say great dude, but I was like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, don't go crazy. We don't have to go crazy. He's not walking. If I see the tweet retirement that he's leaving Crimson Canvas,
good
thanks
riddance.
For the government cheese, then I'll get nervous. But until I see that tweet, we're fine. We're fine.
Yeah, God damn it. You'll see. One day, we'll be getting that cheddar, that fucking Crimson Canvas cheddar, and you're all going to be...
We will. I absolutely think so, too.
And you're all going to be like, damn, Daniel.
So let's, if you want to, we can talk a little about the UFC this weekend. Just a couple of big fights, if you guys want to comment on it. I know that, Dion, you're growing into your role as MMA ambassador.
Man, I'm free this weekend. I moved into my new place, so you know where I'll be this weekend.
Ah, how's your new place?
It's cool. It's really cool.
I like it. I like it. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, good sir.
You got it. So we got John Jones taking on Ovince St. Preux. We've got Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson against, who the hell is he fighting?
DJ's fighting Cejudo.
Yeah, that's right, Henry Cejudo. And, of course, another compelling fight on the card is Anthony Showtime Pettis and Edson Barboza. Anybody want to comment on any of those fights?
Nope.
All right, well, real quick, I'm going to say OSP, Demetrius Johnson, and... Yep, those are my picks.
You're picking OSP.
You down with OSP? Yeah, you know me.
Dan?
I'm on record. I'm taking him. Right. Knockout. Second round.
I hope so, but, you know, no.
It's happening.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And here's the thing. Like, when Ronda lost, I'm like, if Ronda does this, that, and the other, she's going to get her ass kicked. Right? But if she fights the way she should fight, she'll win. I'm not doing any of that with this. I'm just saying, wherever this fight goes, John Jones is going to beat the shit out of OSP.
First of all, we don't know how John Jones is going to be off of that booger sugar. He might not be as good a fighter without the yayo.
Oh, dang.
He was before... Hey, I don't think...
I don't think we've ever seen him fight in the UFC without cocaine.
Well, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
It is.
It is. It's true.
Dion.
So who knows?
It is.
It really is.
From my vast experience with the cocaine, I can tell you it's a hell of a drug.
I've never
even seen cocaine, so there you go.
Yeah, I've never even done cocaine.
No, further proof that I am the, as Evan would say, the whitest man in America. I've never seen cocaine.
Dion says you're the happiest dude. I say you're the whitest dude.
Thank you, Dion.
You're welcome. Thumbs up.
Happiest guy I've ever met. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm just working.
Like, I wonder if that's what he does. Like, when we're not around. What are you doing, Dan?
I'm working, and I'm having a good time. I'm working.
Mom, if you're laughing, stop. You're going to get fan mail from my mom.
I should, man. She's going to be like, could you get me, like, could you draw my son, draw a prints of my son, Dan? Dynamite Dan Rose, D-Rex Dan Rose, and I'll be like, well, maybe, only if he admits that he's got those alligator arms from that commercial right now, that where the guy that goes to give the check to the guy, and he's like, I'll pay for it if I could reach it. Yeah.
I've admitted that I have short arms, okay? They used to call me D-Rex. Daniel Rexington.
Daniel Rexington.
That was my full nickname.
Daniel Rexington?
Daniel Rexington. And then they made it D-Rex.
Oh, shit.
That is awesome.
Yes.
Dude.
Well, you know.
I was not aware of that, but so thanks for telling us that, Dan. That's probably another big mistake you made, but...
Oh, I'm sure it is. At this point, though, I don't even care. It's like, I genuinely believe that part of the show's growth recently is because people love to hear you make fun of me so much. So
have we had growth?
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, he's
absolutely. Big time.
All right, man. Check us out.
You might get more than a cheap fruit basket on that next flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're moving up.
Use my miles.
Like George and Wheezy.
Use my miles to wind up sitting in first class for one of these.
Oh, yeah, dude. We're all first class from now on.
Shit, yeah. Look at that, Mother me, M. Rose. What's your mom's name?
Janine
Rose. J. Rose. I kind of like J. Rose.
I like it, too.
She's a fine lady. She's good people.
She is. She gotta be. I'm putting up with your shit.
Well, you're not only gonna get a fan mail, you're gonna probably get a Christmas present.
Hell yeah.
Well, you won't because you're a Jew.
Jews can get lame.
Because they're lame. Jews can get Christmas presents. I hate to break it to you.
They can?
Yeah, they can get Christmas presents. It's just.
But they just can't open them.
But they're Jewish. That's the only, you know.
So do you have to get a Jewish Christmas present?
If you get me a present for Christmas,
yeah,
it's a Christmas present.
But he's
and
not
you'll
gonna
open
be
it and like enjoy it,
people.
I don't even know. I don't even speak the language you're speaking right now.
I thought the Jews did Hanukkah.
They do. But if you give me a Christmas present, it's a Christmas present. If
I thought you would turn it down and be like, no, I'm Jewish.
If my wife, if I go to her family's house and it's Christmas dinner and they're like, hey, and they really give me shit when they get me stuff, like, not her immediate family, but her, like, grandparents, they don't know what to get me, so they get me, like, basketball magazine.
Nice.
Like, an issue of Slam magazine from January or some shit, you know, like, the previous year. like they spent $2.99 on this, maybe.
Nice.
And, anyway, it's a Christmas present.
Right on. See? There you go. I'm learning about a new culture.
The worst Christmas present ever.
It's not a new culture. You're listening to the same shit as always.
I have never once heard you talk about Christmas presents.
What the fuck would I talk about Christmas presents for?
Well, then what are you talking about? It's the same stuff you always say. I never broached this subject with you. I thought that you guys did Hanukkah and did not do Christmas.
You gotta do Christmas.
You do Christmas if you marry to not a Jew?
Yeah.
So your wife is not a Jew?
No, I wouldn't marry a Jewish chick.
See, I don't know. I thought it was like Greeks. The Greeks marry Greeks, Jews marry Jews.
They do.
Blacks marry blacks.
No, they don't. Well, that's
traditionally not the case, to be honest.
Blacks marry big whites.
That's I didn't want to like pinpoint the demographic, but yeah, that's traditionally the case.
Blacks marry large white. Shoot.
All right, let's see. I feel like we are bringing cultures together today.
Yeah, that's all this show does.
We care. Crimson Canvas cares.
Like when Alicia was on.
What about her?
What about that, Dion?
That was the best when she was talking about Daivari.
It's true.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, the Persians?
Yeah.
Persians.
Yeah, that was funny.
The cologne, the driving.
Yeah.
She actually she just texted me and said she can help get us Chavo for the show.
Oh, what?
Love that. I would be psyched about that.
I know you would. That's why I'm telling y'all.
So we talked UFC, all we need to talk about. Hey, quick note, we're not going to get into it very much, but I'm excited that Ben Henderson is making his Bellator debut tonight.
Tomorrow?
Friday night on Bellator 153. It should be an awesome fight.
Fuck yeah. I'm so happy for Ben Henderson.
Dude, the guy he's fighting is no fucking joke.
I know.
Baryshkov has only lost once in his career, and that was to Ben Askren.
Yeah,
so.
He ragdolled him, though. He kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah, he truly did.
So
that's going to be a fun fight. I mean, I'm excited. Ben Henderson, man. Bellator. Dude, I like Bellator. I'm so much more a Bellator fan than a UFC fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, they're about the fighter, man. They don't limit the fighter sponsorship with that Reebok shit. They allow their fighters to go out in other promotions and fight in grappling tournaments and other stuff. They're about the fighter first. The UFC is about the UFC first.
Sounds familiar.
And the fighter somewhere down the line.
You can go to hell.
UFC, you can kiss our ass.
So basically, UFC is like WWE, and then Bellator is like the indies.
Bellator is like, Bellator is like Lucha Underground. Like, because they have...
so dope.
Or do they have money?
A little bit.
I don't think they have much money.
A little bit. Yeah, have you watched any of this season, Evan?
No.
Man,
I haven't either, and I have
to
the channel.
Facebook
I still
page on, cause you can get, like, and there's, like, clips on YouTube. Like, they show matches every once in a while on YouTube. That's the only way I can keep up with it.
I have that channel, and I don't watch it.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, dude.
Come on,
your voice just went up, like, 7 octaves.
Really? Are you fucking serious? Is this kid kidding? You serious about that?
Did your dog stand on your balls while you were driving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's your drive going, Dion?
It's good. I'm stuck in traffic right now. That traffic cheese.
Is it a wonderful day, though, weather-wise?
Oh, yeah. It's like 90 degrees today.
That's a little too warm.
It's just horrible.
You
got the AC on?
Yeah, in the car? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, keep those dogs cool, man.
Yeah. They chilling. Ready to go home.
Your dogs are nice and quiet on the radio. Evan's dog barks his little ass off.
Only because they're in the car? Who are they going to bark at?
Yeah, exactly. Well, fuck.
They could see someone in the car next to him and bark.
Fuck with my dog, right? I mean...
Your dog makes an appearance every week.
It's not my fault. People come to my house.
I didn't blame you. I blamed your dog.
Pissing the dog off. Like, yo, he's a dog. That's what he does. He's like, hey, okay? Don't be coming to my house. My dog's so dope.
I agree. Your dog's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, he's fucking guarding us, dude. That's what...
Yeah. MVP's on that Bellator card Friday night also.
Oh,
so that'll be...
Wow.
Not the MVP you're thinking of, Dion. Oh. But...
No, not Montarius, whatever, fucking...
Balling.
Michael Page.
That guy?
Michael Page.
Oh. Dude, I love that motherfucker. For real.
Yeah, dude, he's legitimate. His stand-up is just unbelievably good.
Yeah.
He's very creative.
Yes, he is. I love watching.
He's fighting Jeremy Holloway. I wonder if he's related to Max Holloway.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay. There you go.
Jerry Holloway, isn't that a Spice Girl?
Jeremy.
Oh, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jerry Holloway is a Spice Girl, though, isn't it?
I believe so.
Fuck, I'm glad I know that.
Which one was that?
She's like the redheaded one, I think.
What's her name?
The Sporty Spice.
It's Jerry Hollowell.
Oh, whatever. The point is, I knew it was somebody. It had to do with something.
Easy, big
dude, remember how crazy the Spice Girls were when they first came out? Everybody was fucking into them.
Well, you were that age.
Yeah, I was
were you into the Spice Girls?
I was
is that a fact?
When they came out.
Yeah, see, Dion is at that age
and
where
all the bitches were like, fucking, yeah, Spice Girls.
Right?
Jesus.
I was like, who? Who?
Who? And, you know, Dan and I were in our 20s at that time. And, like,
yeah.
God, these fucking chicks are lame.
They're the worst ever.
Who is this?
Just literally the worst.
It's like you thought music couldn't get worse. You're like, really? So we finally get past New Kids on the Block. Or
Whoa. Don't shit on the New Kids on the Block.
See what I'm saying?
Come on, everybody, if you want to take a chance.
The New Kids Dance.
Hanging tough. Yeah, That's quality stuff, dude. I love Donnie Wahlberg. I love his show, Donnie Loves Jenny. I love the show Wahlburgers. So that's hallowed ground here. We don't talk about...
Let me tell you something about...
You don't talk about... You don't say that.
You don't say that.
You don't say that.
Yeah, you don't say that. Let me tell you something about New Kids on the Block. They were so hardcore, they changed their names to NKOTB. That's how gangster they fucking got.
Right, and they're still on tour today, man. The Blockheads.
Shut the...
Tons of fans out there keeping it real.
Come on.
What?
They're not really touring.
Hell, they're not. They sold out MSG 2 nights in a row last year, buddy.
Can you name anyone in the group besides Donnie Wahlberg?
Of course. There's Danny. There's Joey McIntyre. I don't know who else off the top of my head. But I know there's Danny Wood, Donnie Wahlberg, Joey McIntyre, and a couple others who I've since forgotten.
Are you sure you're not talking about, like, Belle Biv DeVoe?
Dude, first of all, Belle Biv DeVoe is awesome. And I am not talking about Belle Biv DeVoe. But that girl is poison, by the way. Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah, me and the crew used to do a...
You were a Belle Biv DeVoe fan?
No! Oh, Belle Biv DeVoe. Who was a fan of Belle Biv DeVoe?
This kid right here.
Like, you got tickets and went and saw him?
No, but I had their CD.
I had Milli Vanilli CD.
Blame it on the rain. Dude, I loved all that shit.
I was dating this girl, and I was like, oh, make me a tape of that? Because they didn't have CDs.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Make me a tape. Oh, shit, yeah, this is a good quality tape. You know, like, you don't get one of those Maxells or whatever the hell they were. Because those were really shitty. But you wind up getting, like, the one that was, like, red and black, and you're like, oh.
Oh, damn.
Oh, San Diego!
Speaking of them motherfuckers, god damn, they were so over on Monday.
Dude, they're over big time. They've made their face turn.
Yeah.
I like it.
I just can't believe how big they are. Like, god damn.
They're selling so much. Their merch is just killing it right now.
Let me ask you a question. And this isn't a joke. Is Bootio's actually a real cereal somewhere?
I don't think it is, but I think it probably will be.
Dude, if they make it an actual cereal, you know I
that's
have
Dan
to
Dan will live on that
it.
Shit.
You know I'm going to have to start getting it.
I mean, you know, like, to make sure you ain't booty, like, can you put that in Vons?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I just, that, this doesn't occur to me that that would be something that people would be like.
It says currently it's not an actual cereal, but you can buy the cereal box at the WWE shop.
Those motherfuckers are cleaning up.
They're killing everything on
hand, there. Money hand over fist.
They're hanging tough.
They are hanging tough. I can't believe you didn't like the New Kids or Belle Biv DeVoe.
Dude, my 14-year-old girlfriend liked them. I was 17, and I was like...
I still like the New Kids.
I was listening to, like, Metallica, Kill 'Em All, and Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, you were one of those guys?
Yeah, one of those guys with a pair of balls. Yes.
Dude, trust me. Guys that are listening to the New Kids and Belle Biv DeVoe got plenty of ass.
Oh, yeah, they did. Especially when Donnie wore his Public Enemy jacket.
Every party I ever went to as a teen, the guys who all liked Metallica and all that would always like be in the corner or trying to look tough with their arms folded. And the guys that liked the good music were all out dancing and interacting.
And actually hanging tough.
Hey, dude, I'm just saying.
Hanging tough. Who sang? Did they sing Step by Step? Was that them?
I don't know that song.
Step by step. Ooh, baby. Wanna take to your girl. Step one.
Yes, it was them. Shut the fuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah. We could have lots of fun. What was that guy's name? The one with the huge mouth that nobody cared about.
I don't know which one had a huge mouth.
The one with the huge mouth.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
God, they were the worst. They were the worst.
They're fucking awesome.
They were the worst, and then came the Backstreet Boys, and they were the worst, and then came...
The Backstreet Boys blew, yeah, for sure.
Then came NSYNC, and they were just garbage.
Agreed.
All the chicks loved them.
That is a fact, they did. But New Kids on the Block, man, they were legit. The one with the big mouth is Danny Wood. That's Don Wahlberg's best friend. So I prefer you don't...
Do you call him Don now?
Yeah, Don and I are close.
They're on the same page.
Did you think you were black back then, wear like a Jamaica fucking necklace? And
I did wear a lot of cross colors.
You did, didn't you? Like
I fucking totally
like
did.
Like Dave Chappelle at 19.
I was down with the brown. I was down with the cause. Absolutely.
Did you have an abolish apartheid shirt?
I did. I wore some Jabode shirts, some cross colors.
Your mom's dying right now listening to this. Oh, that's my Daniel.
She knows. Trust me, she knows. I was in Hamilton, Montana in the 80s wearing cross colors, dude. People knew.
Back off, mother. Back off, motherfucker.
It didn't go under the radar, trust me.
Back off, motherfucker. Abolish apartheid.
People knew.
Dan D-Rex,
Daniel Rexenbottoms. What's his name?
Rexington, fucker.
Rexhead?
Rexington.
Rexington. That's the same shit.
Yeah, Rex Bottoms and Rexington are the same.
Rex Bottoms. Whatever. Dion always has the same name. D.
I'm just saying. I was for the people back in the day. I was all about it.
He did it for the people.
That's right.
You, Dave.
And New Kids on the Block are good.
You were Dave Chappelle and he was 19. Why are you doing this? That was you. Dion didn't even wear Abolish Apartheid shirts.
Dude, I didn't wear Abolish Apartheid shirts. I wore cross numbers. It's different.
Did you wear necklaces with, like, Africa on it?
No. I'm not Chuck D from Public
Enemy. Oh, that was so 90s.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Donnie Wahlberg was doing. He was wearing Public Enemy jackets.
Well, Public Enemies are awesome. You know how, like, every week between our segment and our guest, well, I'll ask Dion, because I know Evan doesn't even listen to the show. But between our segment and the guest, I always play a song. Dion?
What?
You with me?
Yes, I am.
Last week was Public Enemy.
Oh, that's right.
Just like that.
Yeah, I know, Evan doesn't even listen to this damn... That's fucked up.
No, he does. I think I want to hear myself sing fucking Step
it's
by Step.
It's fucking
again.
Hilarious. I listen to it and I'm like, oh my God, that shit was hilarious. And I call you immediately and be like, man, this is, I'm laughing right now. You know why?
Dion's like, how about that one time when you did blah, 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 blah? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I got off the show and, like, took my dog for a walk and lived life. Like, I
well, we're all about the show, first and foremost.
I can't listen to myself. Most people can't listen to me in the first place.
It's true. Despite, my mom seems to like you.
She should, because well, fucking, I'm hilarious and I'm adorable. Does she know what I look like?
No, I haven't broke that barrier
with
her yet.
Oh,
damn.
I want my dad to have a fighting chance in this
thing.
He's
got no chance.
He's not.
Damn it.
Big D Rex still got no chance now.
Nope.
Oh, my God. My dad doesn't suffer from the D Rex. My dad's a big guy. My dad's 6 foot. He's
How'd you wind up 5'6"?
Yeah, my dad's 6 foot. You heard something even funnier? Fuck you. I'm not even telling you.
Yeah, here it comes. He's like,
I have a sister. I have
that.
Two sisters.
Yeah, I want to hear something funnier than that.
I have two sisters. One's 5'10 and one is 6 foot. Yeah, I'm glad you guys like that.
Oh,
it's true.
I got
it. Sister that's 6 foot and one that's 5'10.
Did they play basketball?
No.
Volleyball?
Yeah, my middle sister, she's older than me, but she's the middle sister. She played volleyball, and my oldest sister was kind of a non-athlete. She did, like, drill team in high school and stuff like that, like dance team and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, they are, right?
And there's our little brother Dan, 5'6", with his Abolish Apartheid shirt, his Africa, wearing that fucking hat, the Farrakhan hat.
Dude, it's not my fault I'm 5'6". Let's move on. Let's move on.
Let's look at this motherfucker with his bow tie and those thick ass glasses. He's thinking he's a Farrakhan follower.
That is categorically untrue.
That's so
off. In Montana.
You know how much a fake box of Bootios and a Bootios t-shirt is?
Like $40?
$35.
Yeah, I was going to say $30.
Did you guys see at WrestleMania the Bootios box, like the stuff that was contained in it and everything?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Those were like ass donuts.
It was like Socko was in it. It contained Santino's Cobra.
Oh, no, I didn't see all that shit.
Yeah, it's like next to like the nutrition facts.
Oh.
It had a bunch of that. Then below it said ingredients.
Oh.
And it was like Mick Foley, Socko, Santino's Cobra, whole bunch of stuff like that.
Awesome.
So, do we want to talk about Raw this week before we wrap this
Evan
bad boy
like
up?
Raw.
I liked Raw. Who didn't like Raw?
Evan didn't.
Evan, why didn't you like
I
Raw?
Said
I was
it
like,
was
Raw
good.
Was dope. He was like, it was alright. It was odd.
You said you texted me exactly 12 hours apart. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh shit. I was so nigga. Let me live.
you sent me the same text 12 hours apart with text
yeah.
in between.
Yeah, I forgot that I said that to you.
Yeah, Black Rain Man sending me shit. Like, 10:48 p.m. Raw was dope. Yeah, definitely Raw was dope.
Yeah, definitely dope. Raw was definitely.
10:46 in the 10:46 in the morning. Yeah, Raw was dope. I'm like, motherfucker, it was all right. Like,
it was dope.
Why are you coming at me?
Did you respond to him the first time?
Yeah, we had a full-on conversation.
Yeah. It's like 30 texts. Just like 30 texts in between. Look at Dan.
Smoke for weed, Dion, please.
No. All these texts in the middle. Look at Dan's little arms, you know, shit like that, you know. Baron Corbin didn't end the days. That was sick. Then here we go in the morning. Raw was dope. Like,
I woke up and I was like, man, Raw was pretty, it's been so good.
Flashback tweet.
It was
good.
It was good. It was good. It wasn't fantastic, but it was good.
Dude.
I thought it was pretty fucking good.
The Balor fucking club, or Bullet Club, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, Finn Balor's coming on up next week, I think.
Payback?
At Payback.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
But look, I don't know. I mean,
Roman?
Why are they going to do some bullshit where they're... AJ, of course, is like... Why'd you guys do that? I didn't want you to do that.
You know it's going to happen. You can't. You got to let that happen.
Of course he's going to say he didn't want nothing to do with it.
You think he's trying to swerve us, or you think they're going to swerve him?
You mean?
I don't know. I don't think AJ is going to be involved in the Bullet Club. I think it's going to be the Balor Club, and I think it's going to be Balor and them, and I think AJ is going to be, like, not involved.
Like, because he kind of took over after Balor left last time, so you think they're going to be like, you ain't part of the Balor Club.
You're not part of this.
Would somebody come and take a look at this?
Man, when is Payback?
I don't know, but we can hear your turn signal.
Yeah? Let me turn it off then.
Is that how you do professional show?
Well, I can't get a ticket. Or even I'm on the phone.
Dan, yesterday I took a picture of my rearview mirror because I'm driving my son home from school and there's this like white car that's like not beat up but kind of busted up a little bit. And
my
I'm
car
like,
isn't beat up.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't beat up but just kind of, you know, it has a little.
It's a little old to it.
Got a little sauce on it, you know? And and there was like two cop cars pulling the guy over. So I'm like, oh my God, it's Dion. It's got to be Dion.
It's got to be Kane.
Run away! Of course it's Dion. There are two police officers to give someone a traffic citation?
Yeah, that's Dion.
Yeah, it wasn't Dion, but I was like, damn. So I took a picture of it. I'm like, yo, I thought you was getting busted this afternoon.
Oh, so where?
Go home and watch it on the news.
Was it a black guy?
No, it was a really shitty looking white guy though.
He wasn't quite black, but he's a really shitty looking white.
He had a beard, which I can't wait for this style to go out. This stupid, like, look at my beard and dumb shit. So
hey,
he had
Hayden.
I just think. What, I mean, come on, like, that's impressive. Like, I could grow one of those in a week. I got a big ass Jew beard that I could grow. I shave my beard like Homer Simpson. I got a brown face right after. It just comes right back.
Prove it. Grow out a beard.
No, I'm not growing out a beard because it's gray.
You got a gray beard.
Oh yeah.
Brett Favre style.
You
nice.
Yeah. Except when I take pictures of my dick, I don't do it totally flaccid.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Brett Favre. What are you sending naked nude dick pics to chicks with a soft-ass cock? Like, I'm married.
Are you sending dick pics at all? You're married.
No, not me. Brett Favre.
Yeah, but you just said you don't take yours.
That's what I'm
flaccid.
Saying. I don't even take
them. He's making fun of Brett.
I know, but the implication was that he was taking
Listen,
dick pics.
Listen, you Brett screwed Brett.
He did, dude. He did. That was not the most impressive way to.
I mean, I don't even like, you know, what it looked like. How do you describe it? Oh, his dick was kind of like, nah. Like that's the best.
It looked
thing
like
I could
a penis,
say.
Only smaller.
Nah. Dion and I went through that once with the Seth Rollins dick pic, and he's like, "You see the pic?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, what was it like?" And I'm like. It was a penis, like, like one was hard and the other one, his dick was like, nah.
Seth Rollins had penis pics, huh?
You didn't see that?
Yeah, that's when he was talking with that one Nazi girl.
Oh, that, and what's her name, like Zahara or some shit?
He was like engaged to another chick and he got caught sending her pics or something.
Well, oh, that's not how you want that to go down. Beyond. And then what, got pissed and posted him?
Yep.
Yeah.
Poor Seth.
Right?
I'm pretty sure that Seth was fine because they gave him the title a couple of months later.
Yeah,
but if he has a tiny penis, then he doesn't want
I
that.
I never said he had a tiny penis. I just said he had one that was like, nyeh.
I'm sorry, when you said, nyeh, I implied that to me, that implied that it was not impressive. So.
I mean, like I said, it's a penis.
I've never heard anybody describe anything impressive as,
nyeh. It's just busted. Like, you don't take a picture with a soft wang and send it to a chick like, hey, look at this. Like, that's not going to impress anybody.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Here's a picture of my flaccid dong. Yeah.
That's too bad that that happened to him, though.
I can hear Dion's dogs panting.
Yeah, we just got home.
Motherfuckers.
The car.
They're excited. Still, they're not barking and wrecking the show.
Whatever, have you heard my dog yet?
I heard him during the interview with Dom.
That hasn't even happened yet, so no, you didn't.
That's true. Holy fucking time machine.
Yeah, get your shit straight. So, all right, is there anything else you guys want to go over about Raw?
No, Payback is May 1st, so we can talk about that on next week's show.
But I liked Raw a lot.
I'm excited to watch NXT tonight. Apollo Crews and Samoa Joe. That should be
Ooh.
A good match.
Apollo Crews going to underachieve again.
Shut the fuck
yeah,
up. What's that?
Hates his ass.
What's that No Way Jose character? Does anyone know what that is?
No Way Jose.
He's debuting tonight, I guess. On
and how are Primo and Epico, or whatever the fuck, they're being repackaged?
Again.
Yeah, what is their name?
What
was their name as a tag team?
Los Matadores.
That's right.
Matadores. And now they're Cuban again?
Yeah.
Seriously, that's their fucking Carlos Colon's kids, so they're just gonna be Cuban again. They're whatever. Like,
how come they don't bring back Carlito?
Dude, I liked Carlito.
He was like
he was
one
cool.
of the top guys, wasn't he?
I spit in the face of all that is
cool. He was like right there for a little while.
Yes, I think didn't he do something that like
pissed somebody off?
Yeah, didn't he have some controversial shit?
I don't know. All I know is that I saw him at the last year's Hall of Fame. That was the last thing I saw of him. I wasn't watching wrestling when he was doing his thing.
He was dope. I liked him.
Eating apples.
That's what happened. I just looked it up. He was released because he failed a wellness policy violation. It was only his first... But he refused to attend a rehabilitation facility.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So that's our intro. Stick around. We're going to have Dominique Robinson coming up next, the most sought-after free agent that can't get signed anywhere. So stick around. We'll have him on, and I guarantee you he's going to spit hot fire. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, to Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman, my man Dan Rose, and on the air right now we have the fallen angel, Mr. Dominique Robinson. Dom, what's going on?
Not much, man. Same old, putting in this hustle, this work. You already know. You see me on Twitter, man. That's all I do, and Dana White be ignoring my black ass, so it's all good.
Well, I mean, this has been common theme for the past, I don't know, 10 years. Dana White just ignoring your ass, except when you show up at Nick Diaz press conferences.
Dude, I saved them. You remember that? That was the most disappointing, let-down press conference they ever had, and it was supposed to be the best press conference they ever had. Because remember, they were supposed to have that, like, secret big news, so that's why all the media went there, and then they didn't have it, and everybody was all sad about it, and then just like, you know, if I'm in the bedroom with a lady, chocolate came to save the day. So, you know, and I was like, hey, Dana, you know, what's up, motherfucker? And then I met him at his office. He told me UFC employees were blowing up his phone and fans were blowing up his phone to have me in there when we met at the office. And my black ass still ain't in there.
Why do you think?
Hated on, man.
I mean, why do you think it is? Like, I mean, because seriously, there's, you know, they pick up some people. I mean, I got nothing against Sage Northcutt or any of these guys they're going after on, like, looking for a fight, you know, that whole thing. Nothing but love for those people getting in there. But that being said, why wouldn't you just take one of the best fighters in the world at your weight class? Like, I just don't understand how it hasn't happened, how it hasn't materialized.
I figured that all out, actually, after that conference, because immediately after that, you know, me and Dana White, we met up the next week, and, you know, all bullshit aside right now, you know, joking aside, he did tell me that the UFC employees, fans, everybody was blowing up his phone, wanted me in, and he wanted me in. So, and Ad also spoke to Lorenzo Fertitta, and he was like, man, you know, you charismatic, you can work the mic, and both of them are putting this thing on Joe Silva. And they're like, you know, because they said they don't like to step on toes. And, of course, they have more power than him, but they leave that to him. That's the way they said they work. So I'm like, okay, you know, what's going on? And he's like, he just feels like your schedule's not busy enough. And I'm like, you know, me being an MMA guy, all I do is study a combat sports. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. They're taking, like, guys who, like that guy, one guy, what's his name? Can't even remember if it's Kobe Covington or who. But the guy didn't fight for like 3 years, was like 5-0, got signed to UFC. So now, and I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense, but whatever. So they tell me to beat Joe Daddy, I'm in. And they keep saying, beat this person, I'm in. I'm like, all right. And I beat him, I don't get in. And then it's on Joe Silva again. So I go to Ultimate Fighter tryouts. And me and Joe, actually, I'm like, Joe. And he's all friendly, which surprised me. I thought he hated me. I'm like, what's up? This is what I'm hearing from them. I want to hear it from you. I don't like being around the bush. And he tells me that the lightweight division has the most people in the world in it, and I need to fight more. And he's like, you know, he felt like I was trying to take a shortcut in the UFC because I had all these interviews saying people were ducking me. And then the time is chocolate. I was saying people were ducking me. But then I explained to him, I'm like, hey, you don't get it. And I tell him, I'm like, you at the top of the heap. I'm like, that's not how it works. If I want to fight out the country, they won't fly you in unless if you're a UFC guy. East Coast, South, Midwest, these shows don't have money. They won't fly you in unless if you're a UFC guy. West Coast, you know, as you know, Evan, it's not like it used to be. Like 90% of the pro shows are gone since that bullshit amateur stuff started because the promoters are getting over on people by not paying them. So I'm like, there's no pro shows left. And then the pro shows that are left, the people are ducking me, and I break it down. He was like, I didn't know it was like that out there. So then he asked me about Access TV, and I'm like, I actually know Andrew Simon, and he wants me on there, but these guys are telling my management straight up, you know, this is verbatim, they're not going to spend money to fly me in to beat hometown ticket sellers. So we go through it, and he's like, okay, I didn't know this was that. So he actually puts me through tough, you know. He's like, I put you through everything, but I can't put you through the interviews, you know, so you have my blessing. So all the stuff people had to do, I didn't even have to do. I just went straight to the interviews, and I did one interview, and all the people loved me. They're like, hey, you fucking through, no more. So all the guys that ended up, a lot of guys on the show, they were like, fuck, you know, we kept in contact after that, seeing who got on, who not. I was like, dude, I'm on. Fuck you, motherfuckers. You know, I hope you pass your interview. So the whole time leading up to the fight, they tell me to get ready. So I'm getting ready. You know, I'm talking to some of the producers, you know, and all that. They're checking on me, making sure I'm doing things right, you know, including my boy Joey Varner. I'm like, I'm getting ready. And then, ironically enough, I get hit up by, like, Shoot Boxing, Pancrase, a show in Panama, a show in Germany, all these places to fight, but you're not allowed to take another fight. So 2 weeks before Tough, I get a call, I'm not on the show, and they won't tell me why. And I'm like, wait, I was like number one draft pick. And then Joe Silva ends up calling me right before the show starts, and he's like, I didn't want to leave you in limbo, and you know, you're not, I feel that's wrong, you don't know why you're on. And he tells me him and the UFC fought for me to be on, but they're kind of a separate entity than, you know, the people who produce Tough. So ultimately it was those people's decision. But, you know, what is it, the Culinary Union that's going after everybody? And those guys, I guess, are just going after everybody, including seeing new people that's getting into everything. And they went way back in my Instagram. And you know how, Evan, how I put up all the anime and stuff. So yep. They saw an anime picture of one anime picture, a girl, the anime character is a female, and like her neck was being grabbed. And then another one, an anime female was chained up. So they said that meant I was an advocate of domestic violence. I shit you not, this is what happened. And Joe Silva and them tried to put me through, but they just, it was too close to the show, and they just did not want to deal with it, because this is at the time Rumble was fighting in Vegas. I can't remember who he's fighting, and they were already having trouble with these people with him here at that time and some other stuff, and they just rather they not have me on there than deal with it. And that's how I ended up not being on whatever it was, 22. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it was just, that's what happened. And then they tell me that when the next one they had put me in, which was Pancrase, UFC Fight Pass, and I get punched one time and lose the fight in Japan, which is known for screwing people over, which ironically I'm about to fight in again. So now they're telling me win two and I'm in. So that's how the whole thing happened, man. It just keep being some bullshit. And then now they got that guy, Cody West, who, come on down. I can't put
that's
up
what I was
anime
saying.
Getting fucking choked. You know what I mean? Some girls, you know, like being choked, man. You know what I'm saying? Girls be freaks out here. But you know what? It wasn't even her getting choked like that, though. It was just like clearly an anime picture from a scene in the anime. But I'm like, come on, dude. You got guys, Abel Trillo, Rumble, Cody West. You got these guys in there, and I get cut for that, you know? So, but they clearly do whatever the fuck they want, so.
Yeah, well, I guess all you could do is just keep trying to fight, right?
Yeah, man, I'm trying to. I'm taking this summer, actually. I'm tired of this West bullshit. So after this Pancrase fight, I'm going over to my boy, Boyd Clark, Jim, who kept Top Team. You know, I got to sacrifice the time with my son, which I don't like. But, you know, I got to get something out this sport before I'm too damn old. So I'm going to stay in Phuket, Thailand for 3 months because I know Will Chope. And that motherfucker's out there fighting, like, literally every 3 weeks. So I'm like, okay, they telling me to get in here, you know, get two fights and I'm in. Two fights out there could be like instantly out here. Who knows how long it could be. So I'm just going to take like the summer of shitting on people. You know what I mean? I'm calling out names like Corrupt, you know, and I'm just going over there and fighting everywhere. I already got like four fights lined up and I ain't even out there yet. So, and I don't trust UFC. They said win two, so I'm trying to get four this summer so they won't say shit to me so I could, you know, get in and be on that Donald Cerrone, Neil Magny type of schedule because I'm getting old as hell out here, man, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even remember. What was the dude's name? Horcher? Jared? Daryl Horcher? Jared?
Daryl Horcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they called his ass up to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. On like 9 days notice, it's like, well, okay, so is it because he's undefeated? Is it because...
He's not even undefeated, Horcher. Horcher 12-1. He was supposed to be on Tough 2, but from what I heard, he's walking around at like 95. So they was like, dude, you can't make this weight. So they cut him. I don't know if you guys know or not. First of all, I would have murdered everybody on that show. You know, it was so funny. Hella people were worried about me some of the guys were keeping in touch, like, are you on there, man? Are you on there? We need to team up when we're on there. It was funny. But almost like 90% of that show was 35ers and 45ers. When I was doing the interviews, I was looking at these guys. I was like, they like my son size. You know, it was crazy. So, you know, but the UFC, they doing whatever they want to do. You clearly see when Sage Northcutt getting in there getting 40 and 40. I had a bigger fan base than that guy. You look at 1FC, RSA, Legacy, Seth, Bellator, UFC, some of the new and middle tier guys. Look at my social media numbers and these guys. I put in work. You know what I mean? Evan. I've known you for years. That's all I do is promote.
I know.
So, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe they're just... They're like, hey, we can only have one angry black man in each weight class.
Who's the angry black man at lightweight, though?
There's a few. You got what, Bobby Green? He's angry.
Damn.
What about Abel
Trujillo? They do got Bobby Green.
Yeah.
Damn, Abel Trujillo light-skinned, though. That don't count.
That's true. That's true.
When's
the last time Bobby fought, too?
You see Bobby Green? What even happened to him? He just vanished for a while.
Yeah.
But he was just supposed to fight on this last card, wasn't he? And he got something happen?
I don't know what happened to him. I miss Bobby Green, though. He be keeping it real. You see the fan, you know what, though? The fans be hating on him. They don't like that real shit, Evan. You see Bobby Green, he always put on an exciting fight. They be booing him. I'm like, damn.
You know what?
He is fighting in June at UFC 199 versus Dustin Poirier.
That should be good.
You know why he gets a bad rap, though? It's because he's kind of got that Adrian Broner thing when he's fighting. Just like, if you hit him, he's like, nah, you didn't hurt me. Like, and some, you know how weird MMA fans are? They're like, that's not the way that Bruce Lee would do mixed martial arts. Like, everybody's so zen about the whole thing, like, until it's their favorite fighter, you know? But everybody's so like, it's not the spirit of a true martial artist. Yeah, which I absolutely hate that shit. Yeah,
I hate it too. You got to look at it. Look at Bruce Lee. Is what we do closer to Bruce Lee's ideologies and philosophies, or is it closer to just straight gladiatorial Roman, the rich people watching the poor fight in the Coliseum? It's closer to that than anything Bruce Lee ever did in his life. You know, first off, and then second of all, you know, you see Daniel Cormier, this guy, he's had to deal with so much adversity in his life, being cut from the Olympics. He had one of his children die, which I can't even imagine being a father myself and everything. And he was getting booed, and John Jones, who's in love with the Coco, he was getting cheered. So you can't say, oh, it has to be Bruce Lee way, but then you're cheering people who doing cocaine, doing hit and runs on pregnant women and all this other stuff. The MMA fans, you already know, man. You already know how I feel about them. These motherfuckers, they don't be knowing.
They don't. I mean, it's all in how the UFC presents a fighter to them is how they take it, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, if the UFC gets behind a guy and presents him as, you know, who you should cheer for, the sheeple all just line up and cheer.
I agree with you. Look at that Randy Brown guy. That Randy Brown guy, he was on that Dana White show, the same one as Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall is like 1-0, and Dana White's like, I got to sign this kid, makes the show about him, and then goes in the back room and talks to Randy Brown like, maybe we'll sign you, which they did. But Randy Brown is better than Mickey Gall and better than Sage Northcutt, but he has the least hype on him out of the three because Dana White spoke on the other two more. And I ain't playing the race card here, but I find it kind of funny. You know what I mean? I find it kind of funny.
Well, man, look at Sage Northcutt. He's a Ken doll. I mean, that's like, he's so marketable. And, I mean, Randy Brown, Neil Magny, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
He looks exactly like Ken.
Like, just just tall, lanky, you know. And he could be a lost Njikawani brother. You know what I mean? So when they're looking at him like, okay, these guys are a dime a dozen, who stands out? And then you got Sage Northcutt, this like 19-year-old kid doing backflips with an 8-pack and you know, his Zach Morris hair. Yeah, I mean, they get a big
whose
old...
Whose father is in a conspiracy with steroids. You know, let's throw that in there. Let's keep it real on here.
I don't... You know what? I can't follow... You know how long I've been in the sport. Dan's been in the sport a long time. You've been in the sport a long time. I can't follow this stuff anymore. Like, all the drama, then there's the fighter's parents' drama, you know, like, I'm just like, all right, look, like, so-and-so's dog bit someone, like, really? Like, I don't really give a shit, like, don't...
I honestly don't care about that at all. It's like, if you piss hot for it, then you take your medicine and you do your time or whatever, unless you're Kimbo Slice, but then, you know, I always work under the assumption that, if you get caught cheating, then you're a cheater. If you don't get caught cheating, then, you know, I don't see you as a cheater.
And you're a trier.
Yeah.
No, these guys, I remember I told George, Gorgeous George, I was like, hey, in an interview, I was like, 90% of these guys are on shit, you know, and I'm behind the scenes. I'm telling you, he was like, nah, I don't know. I talked to, Matt Sierra said, like, 75, this person said this, and all that. And then all these people with the suicide study getting popped, and he hit me up. He was like, dude, you might be right. And then Henzo came out with an interview saying 90% too. It's guys, you know, and me going to college, you know, my major was biological processes. I know there's a million ways to hide what you're doing. And especially since they don't test you, people think they're getting tested. They're making it seem like they're getting tested way more than they are. They're not. There's a million ways to mask things. And then there's different things that are hard to test. And they would have to catch you at specific times. They're not doing that. You know, with the Sage Northcutt thing, they come out that his father was like a big, you know, steroid user, seller down there. And, dude, at 19, I didn't look shit like that. And I have good genetics. You know what I mean? So, come on, let's keep it real here. And that motherfucker could, like, float on air and shit. No, he owns something.
He can float on air. That's awesome.
Look at Conor McGregor. He had fought, did you see his body? He fought Aldo, and then by the time he fought my boy Nate, he was way bigger. You can't gain that much muscle in, like, 3 months on your own. You can't do that. That's impossible. The size difference that he went to.
Yeah, but you gotta love the apologists that are just like, no, that's just the weight he walks around at. You know, he would have walked around at that weight anyway. he just didn't cut. You're like, dude, do you know anything about the body? Like, are you fucking stupid? But the answer to that is yes. Pretty much everybody that follows the sport. I mean, all these conspiracy theorists that have been kind of like foaming at the mouth these past couple of days, like wondering what did Conor McGregor do and what did this and that. And, like, it might just be like, he's like, fuck, I'm not doing interviews. And Dana's like, well, fuck you. And that's it. Just like Dana said, you know, who knows what it is?
Well, just like Dana said, apparently Conor McGregor fought two weight classes up, which was, I was reading that. It's just hilarious how much of this shit is just lies and people just go for it. You remember that? They were like, oh, he fought Nate two weight classes up. Let's reward his bravery. I'm like, come on, man. Let's go to Greg Blackson here and keep it real. First of all, in Cage Warriors, he was a featherweight and lightweight champ. So he's accustomed to fighting that lightweight. And Nate's a lightweight. He's not a welterweight, so I wouldn't even say he went even one weight class up, because really that guy should be fighting at 55. They just had to make any excuse they could for why he got whooped, you know?
And he did get whooped. But you know what? I'm glad I didn't want to see that damn fight. Now that it's off, people are, like, up in arms. Like, dude, no, who wanted to see a rematch of a fight that happened, like, a month ago?
Yeah, that wasn't very, you know, the lead up to the fight was exciting. The fight itself was decent, but it didn't leave, like, any intrigue in your mind on who would win a rematch.
Yeah, there's no doubts or there was no controversy. It was just like, there's no belt on the line. It's just like, they're just fighting again.
It's two guys fighting a rematch immediately after a match that was pretty, you know,
good,
pretty well settled at a weight class that neither of them belong in.
Yeah.
And it's headlining the biggest UFC card ever, they say. And it's just like, that fight made zero sense.
I want to know why the UFC 200 card, have you guys looked at it? It's weird. Yeah. Like, some of the cards leading up to that are better than the 200 card.
It's weird.
I'm wondering, like, I think they're just trying to, you know, because everybody's saying how, you know, oh, this card's going to be so gangster and so bananas and the best one ever and blah, blah, blah. But when you look at the fight card lineup, which I'm sure will change five more times, I think that there's, I don't know, I think they're just doing it so people will be like, oh, you know, titles are on the line, and oh, it's this Conor McGregor, and oh, and Nate Diaz. Like, I think this is honestly just about, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's always about money, but I think this one is just simply about selling, and that's it. Because to hardcore fans, there's not really any fights on this card that, like, mean anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's big
names on. Sage Northcutt is on 200. Give me a goddamn break. Like, come on, man. Hey, I have a question for you guys. So who do you think they should get that versus Nate that would add intrigue? Because they feel like they're trying to keep him on the card.
Well, from what everything I've read, they're trying to get George St. Pierre on UFC 200 now. But I believe if they get him on 200, it won't be to fight Nate. I think they would move Robbie Lawler and George St. Pierre to the UFC 200 main event. And as far as someone for Nate, man, it's slim pickings at welterweight right now with guys that aren't already booked on other shows.
Yeah, true.
I honestly don't know who they would get.
Well, he wouldn't fight lightweight?
Well, I mean, he might, given enough time, if you book it now and say, okay, you got a full fight camp, you know, you can get down to 155 where you belong, but this fight was supposed to be at 170.
Yeah, I think they would probably do Khabib versus Nate and tell him he gets a title shot if he wins or something. Or Tony Ferguson, that would be exciting. But Tony Ferguson, I'm not sure how his fan base is, but I know as a hardcore fan, I'd love to see that.
That would be a good fight. That would be a really good fight.
Yeah.
I would be all
I think Ferguson versus Nate would be, that is a fight I'd want to see. Ferguson versus Khabib, Nate versus Khabib, I wouldn't want to see because it's just,
he'll just hold him down.
Yeah, he'll just out-wrestle him, and, I mean, you know how wrestlers.
Didn't they have some kind of beef at another show, you know, a while back?
Yeah, they threw water on him, like, at a World Series.
Yeah, World Series.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then Nick and Khabib and all those guys got a little heated in the hallway.
Well, yeah, that's how the Diaz brothers roll.
These things happen in MMA, ladies and gentlemen.
Sometimes these things happen in MMA.
But yeah, I don't know. UFC 200 is, like I said, it's got some big names on it, like Kevin, you know, Gastelum versus Johnny Hendricks on paper. That looks compelling, but to me, I could care less about that fight.
Who gives a shit about that fight? Johnny Hendricks' family doesn't care about that fight.
Yeah, I love both Joe Lauzon and Diego Sanchez, but for them to be fighting at UFC 200, not really.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Gomi and Jim Miller, that's another fight that, 10 years ago, I probably would have been excited to see. You know, I don't know. I just think
I'm telling you, it's just a money card. Like, they're just
Travis Brown and Cain Velasquez might be.
They're putting names on the card to make the most money they can. But is it something the fan are these fights that hardcore fans would want to see or have like implications? No.
No.
There's nothing on it. Like, if you look at the whole thing that they have so far, Jose Aldo, Frank Yeager, I'm cool with that one. Misha Tate, Amanda Nunes, I'm only cool because Amanda earned it. Everything else, I don't care about. Sage Northcutt is fine. Some guy named Enrique Martin. You know, like, who the hell is that? Derek Brunson is on there. Jesus, I can't even talk about it.
They need
me. If they need Nick, me, Nate, and Bobby Green and some other gangsters up on that card. Watch, you know what I mean? Get a fan some real shit. They don't like that real shit on there, though, Showman. Because let Joe Rogan be like, yeah, that was a wonderful fight. Dominique, you know, who would you want to fight next? I ain't going to be like, oh, whoever the UFC tells me, whoever Dana White tells me, I'm calling out. everybody.
Yeah, that guy, he's a bitch, and blah, 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 and he's a bitch.
Hell yeah, I'm calling out motherfuckers that ain't even signed yet and shit. You know, like, come on, man. People don't, they're tired of hearing the same shit over and over, man, you know?
You know what?
That's true.
I'm looking at the UFC 100 card. UFC 100, Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir. GSP and Thiago Alves. Henderson and Michael Bisping. Fitch and Paulo Thiago. Akiyama and Belcher. Coleman and Bonner. John Jones and Jake O'Brien. Mac Danzig and Jim Miller. The Donger versus TJ Grant. I mean, dude, like that was, there was a, that was a card. There were things I wanted to see. I would have bought that card alone just to see Dan destroy Bisping the way he did. But this one is like, eh, I don't know.
Well, it's like you just said, that there's other cards coming up that are more compelling than that. If you look at UFC 199, you got Rockhold rematch on there. You got Dom Cruz and Uriah Faber. Bobby Green and Dustin Poirier, which should be a great scrap.
Hey, y'all know that I love Uriah Faber. I love Uriah Faber. But I don't really want to see him and Cruz fight at all. And I don't think...
I do, just on the off chance that Uriah can win.
Uriah can't win.
Don't ruin dreams for me, Evan.
It's just... He can't win. I mean, it's just not the way he looked in his last fight.
I'm holding out hope. Just like I think OSP is going to beat John Jones this weekend.
That ain't going to happen either.
You are the ambassador of ruining my dreams.
Ask Dom. He'll tell you.
All right, Dom, who's going to win?
John Jones.
I appreciate
that. If it was
that,
just
Dom.
A stand-up, if it was just a stand-up fight, I would be intrigued and give OSP a chance. But John Jones is going to wrestle the shit out of him.
Evan, do you remember when Holly Holm beat Ronda Rousey? I said all these things were happening that would, like, compel that result to happen. Like, all these things going on in Ronda's life with all that, how I just felt that it could happen.
Right.
I feel like with the UFC, just having their big issue with Conor, I feel like it's going to bury the UFC even more to have Jon Jones lose. And I think that's what's going to happen. I just think that the cards are all stacked up, and OSP is going to shock Jon Jones.
Well, luckily, he's not going to lose. Jon Jones is not going to lose.
We'll see.
If he did lose, you know what? I picked Holly Holm to beat Ronda Rousey just because, personally, I've never thought Ronda was that skilled as an overall fighter. Nobody wants to be honest and just say this shit, but the women at this juncture of MMA, there's more tough women than skilled women. And that girl's tough and has a fair amount of skill in one art. So that's why she was beating people the way she did. When she fought Holly Holm, you know, I did my little trail talk, little show that I do sometimes, and I said that Holly was going to win by head kick. And it was like the first real other athlete she ever went against. And the other person that she fought, the only people besides that I thought she fought that actually have a fair amount of skill was Misha Tate, who got her to the third round, and Kat Zagano, who went out there and acted like a dipshit. You know, so...
Yeah. God, I wish we could have that fight over that night.
Yeah, it's just like, I just feel like the girls are catching up skill to the toughness. And don't get me wrong, because I don't want these women to be like, oh, he hates women. I get more excitement out the women fighting than the men half the time, because they go for it. These guys be out there acting like some, you know, acting like they shook, because there ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. You know what I mean? I just want to put that out there. So...
I just watched that movie day before yesterday.
But, man. But, you know what? If John Jones loses, I would be happy for the simple fact everything is going wrong, like you said. Because Sage Northcutt lost. Paige VanZant lost. Connor's gone.
Ronda Rousey lost.
So they only have John Jones left.
Yep. That's kind of what I want, too. I love the fighters. I don't love the UFC. So anytime that something can, like, you know, mess with him a little bit, I'm all for that.
I love what John Jones has done. I mean, he's beaten everyone in the entire division. Like, he cleaned it out. He was like GSP, took all the top guys, beat them all. I go on record a lot saying Anderson Silva never fought people the caliber of, like, the GSPs and Aldo or Fedor. But And that's why I never had Anderson as a top pound for pound, as the top pound for pound fighter, because the people they were giving him were tailor-made for his style half the time. But yeah. John Jones, like, legit killing people that are at the very top of the very top. Now, OSP is the number six light heavyweight champion, or number six light heavyweight in the world. That's terrible. That's like, I think Jimmy Manoa was in the top 10 and he got knocked out and hasn't fought in God knows how long. Like, it's a really shitty division right now. So there's going to be this, you know, Rumble, John Jones, and Daniel Cormier, like round robin for the next 3 years. Or maybe Gustafson.
Maybe Ryan Bader.
Bader and Glover, but that's the top five. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Feijão was in the top five, like, before his last fight.
Dude, and that was Feijão off the roids. So he was just a shell of his former self. He was still in the top 10, I think.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the changes in a lot of the body types.
Oh, yeah, motherfuckers are melting.
Yep.
I'm just waiting.
Junior Dos Santos, I mean, as good as he looked in the cage, his body had changed pretty significantly, too.
You could see it all over the fighters. People are weaker than they used to be. They're not as durable. They're not as aggressive. The cardio's gone. Their bodies changed. Man, I've been known these guys are all on shit. I didn't fight guys on shit. You can tell, especially when you're in the business and you're seeing guys when they ain't on shit. And you're like, okay, and then, you know, I ain't going to say no names, but one dude I seen when we were about to fight, and I'm like, oh, this motherfucker out of shape, I'm going to melt him. And then come fight time, he looked like he was in the same explosion that Bruce Banner was that turned him to Hulk. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? You know, so, and now you're starting to see these guys. They don't look the same. Guys that never got hurt or getting dropped all over the place and everything. It's like, that's just going to make the work easier when I get there.
Man,
they got to give you your break. It sounds like all they've given you is a bunch of excuses and a bunch of bullshit, because everything that you said that they say doesn't really hold up. You know, I mean, you're going to try to tell me that Dana White's afraid to step on Joe Silva's toes? Come on. And the whole thing with the anime thing, I mean, like you were talking about earlier, that Cody East guy that's fighting Saturday night. That guy's got convictions for assault against minors, assaulting its women. He has a rape charge.
Rape charge, everything. It just doesn't make sense. When I beat Joe Daddy, I did exactly what they said. And they're like, oh, well, you beat him at a point where, you know, his career isn't the same. I'm like, why'd you guys say fucking anything then? And then there's something always happens at other times. Like Dana White went to my fight when I fought Anderson Silva's top lightweight, you know, Paulo Badenada out in Vegas on pay-per-view. And I get ripped off that fight. I chased the guy for two rounds and then beat the living fuck out of him the third round, drop him three times. God bless his Brazilian heart, because usually I drop people, they don't get up. And then after that, I lose. Anderson goes on the mic, tells everybody I won. Dana White, Sven Bean, all those guys are telling me that I won. And I'm like, can I still get that contract? He's like, it doesn't work that way. And then after that, this Japan fight, you know what I mean? They tell me when that I'm supposed to be, and I get punched one time in a fist fight and lose. I literally got punched one time. And they just let the guy hold the cage to hold me on the cage the whole time. And Pancrase, I don't know if you guys know, the funny thing is they have a ref outside the cage specifically to keep fighters from doing that. And the ref outside the cage was telling the ref inside the cage, the guy's holding the cage, which it doesn't matter. I've never fought anybody stronger than me yet. It doesn't matter how strong you are. If they have the underhook and, you know, and they hold the cage, you can't turn them, you know? You can't turn them off. And the ref inside didn't do anything. And this is with the ref outside, the fans, me, and Josh Barnett, who was cornering me, telling me. And, like, even then, I just beat the guy up on the inside. After the fight, the guy has, like, a cut on his fucking head, purple ribs and shit, because I just beat up the body limping. And I look like the way I look right now, sitting fresh and pretty, and lose a split decision. You know, every American that fought that card and the card after all lost split decisions. It's funny. And now they tell me, oh, we're going to get you an exciting guy. They tell Bash Rudin, because, you know, that's my friend and mentor. He helped me get the fights over there. We're going to give him an exciting guy to finish them like the other guy last time. And then I look at the guy they gave me, and they send tape, and he's like a fucking 2-inch taller exact replica of the last guy. So they're just going to be trying to grab me again. I'm like, really? This is what's going on here? So it's just, man.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, what were you saying? The whole what?
I was just saying the whole thing where, like, Dana would say it doesn't work that way. There are no rules. I mean, shit. Look at the UFC. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sad about this at all. But the UFC just cut Jared Rosholtz, who, you know, coming off a win.
Well,
there are no
rules. He was coming off a loss.
Was he? I thought he was coming off a win.
No, he lost to Roy Nelson, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it was
still,
just, he was,
what, 6-1 or something?
It was just, his fights are miserable to watch, so.
Oh, they're horrendous.
They were waiting
but,
for.
I mean, there's no rules. They do whatever they want. They answer to themselves.
Well, yeah. They were just waiting for the guy to lose so they could cut him, you know?
They've been cutting a lot of people lately.
I can't believe they cut Norman Park.
Yeah.
The only one I've been surprised with is Norman Park.
I hated Norman Park.
Yeah, but he was, I mean, he fought, though. Every time he went out there, he fought.
He was
boring
to me, man. He's that apprehensive type of striker. You know, he's like, I strike, I'm Irish. But then he just sit there and he, like, tries to, like, back up. And once he gets in even a little bit of trouble striking, he shoots in. I don't know if you guys know, I ain't never shot no goddamn takedowns, man. You know, I've been like, I'm like, come on, man, let's knuckle up. And that's what it is. He'll sit there and play that counter-strike and apprehensive game and then get hit one time and then shooting in and wrestling all day. I'm like, come on, man, Norman Park. You can't have a name like Stormin when it's calm seas, you know? That's how I see it. So I'm like, good riddance. I didn't like how they got rid of that dude, what's his name, Damon Jackson, on that draw. And that fight was good, too.
That was a good fight.
Yeah, he lost the fight when he took short notice a weight class up versus my boy Yancy Medeiros. And then he fought that other guy that's undefeated and got a draw. And that fight was good, and they let him go. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he looked great. I didn't understand that. And then they let go of the other fighter I liked, even though he was on, you know, he did lose two fights. But the one that fought Mayday, the former Sengoku champ, I can't even remember his name right now. But he pretty much had Mayday dead to rights and then got his back taken and rear naked choked. I'm like, Kanahara. And I'm like, damn, man. Everybody else, I could kind of see what I got rid of him.
Yeah. But, well, you know, I think they're trying to appeal to, yes, a worldwide fan base, but they really don't give a shit about Japan. Because there's so many Asian MMA guys that they just get rid of as soon as they lose. You know what I mean?
They
had an Ultimate Fighter Ultimate Fighter Japan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
wait, no, China.
China.
China,
and,
yeah.
And all these guys came out from that show with like 2-3 records, and they're like, they signed all 12 guys or some shit like that, and they just, like, one by one, each time they lost, someone was, like, getting rid of them.
The only one that they didn't get rid of that decided to leave, I actually trained him. I trained him for a fight he won versus the number one welterweight in China, and then I ended up getting invited to teach in China for the Chinese government for, like, 5 months. And he got on the show after that. It was Wang Sai. Wang Sai ended up choosing to leave UFC because he's fighting Kunlun fights in China for like 5 times the money the UFC gave him versus guys that are like 1-5 now. And I was like, good job, Wang Sai. Good fucking job. So he's just over there making like 4 times the guys in the UFC fighting guys that are like 1-4 and shit now.
Good for him, man.
China. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like a completely separate, for some reason, in Japan and China and Singapore, it just all those Eastern, all those Asian places. I don't like using the word Asian because there's also India, which is Asia. But anyway, over there, the Asians, they have a completely different, separate world, and I think the UFC have completely shut themselves off from that. You know, like, it looked like they were trying to tap into that market, saw it didn't work, and they've just been like, ah, fuck it, you know? And that's why guys can go over there, and, you know, they have their own MMA over there, so you get a guy, like you said, your boy, and he can make four times as much, so.
Yeah, it's growing over there, too. They I'm telling you, man, in the next few years, look at the next 4 or 5 years, China, you know what I mean? Right now, and I'm actually in the middle of a business deal, you know, with Mayweather's camp and a guy I know in China. I'm the one that's the middleman of the deal that I met when I lived over there. But they getting some, you know, we're talking about some possibilities because I know the guy who owns the first MMA show that was ever in China. And he got some plans that I presented to the Mayweather camp. And if they come together, it's going to blow up. But China, though, man, in the next few years, that's going to run all the Asian MMA because when I was over there teaching for the government, it was already growing, and now it's even bigger. That's how Will Chope is flying like every damn week in kickboxing and MMA. All the guys over there in Thailand are just flying up to China and Korea, and there's tons of shows. So it's a hungry market, and they don't want UFC in there because that Western shit is going to fuck it up. You know, they want Eastern shows ran by Eastern people and get it going. And I like the whole thing over there more. It's like if you can fight, it reminds me of old MMA. You remember, Evan, back in the days, it was like if you could fight and you put on the show, nobody cared if you won or lost. It was like, hey, come back. Now there's some other shit. You got guys like me. You got Lowen Tynaz. That's in, you know, Mamet Khalidov. How we've never had an opportunity in UFC. Sergey Khachanov. Not that we're at his level, but just another example that haven't fought in the UFC. And it's ridiculous when you have guys like us out there and you don't, and you see these other guys out there. I got, you know, it's just, it pisses me off every time I watch the UFC.
You know what, man, though? It's funny because as a fighter now, if I have, like, if I'm on that cusp or in your position, you should have been there a long time ago, but if I'm a fighter who isn't signed to a big promotion yet, man, UFC is not as attractive as it once was with the Reebok deal in place and all that. If I'm an up-and-coming fighter or an established fighter that's, you know, going to make the jump, man, Bellator looks a hell of a lot better with their Viacom money and all that, because that Reebok deal has choked fighters, man. It is. It is killing fighters' ability to earn their money, and it's something that I think about, you know. It's like if I were a fighter right now and I were being, you know, groomed or I was being looked at by the big organizations, you'd have to heavily consider Bellator.
Yeah, yeah. And you can. The thing is, they're allowing people to still do jiu-jitsu competitions and kickboxing competitions outside of their show. Now they have an Bellator kickboxing, and it's like, man, and then you got the sponsors too. And you know my boy King Mo, you look at him, they let him go fight in Rizin and everything. Yep. So it's like, okay, and I asked him, he said, man, I'm loving it over here. You know, and he making more money than the UFC guys. You know, so I'm like, hey, motherfucker, you know, maybe you see fucking Ben Henderson. I saw an interview with him, and he said he was losing six figures a month since Reebok got there. Six figures a month in sponsorship. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts. We had Josh Thompson on the show not too long ago, a couple, 3 weeks ago, and he's really happy with Bellator, too, so.
Yeah, JT getting paid over there. I remember back when I first started this, 2003, I was always having to spar him, and he was always trying to do spinning shit on me. And I was like, hold on, homie. Damn, I've been in this too long, man. You know what? And what you guys said, I used to just be like, man, I got to get to UFC. Now I'm kind of to the point where I'm just like, I just want to get somewhere that appreciate what I bring to the table and I'm making money. Because in the end, it just comes down to the money I got to make for my family. You know, I want to get my mom a house someday and my grandma before she died for how much they've done for me, raising me on their own and all this stuff. And it ain't even about UFC per se to me anymore. It's just about, I just want to, you know, leave my mark somewhere in this sport, make enough money to take care of my family and start a business of my own and then move on to analyst work and everything after. As you know, Evan, that's all I do. That's all I do. I know everybody. All the guys that's in the UFC now, and Evan, you know, man, I was buying tapes and watching and studying before they ever were in the UFC. And I just want to move on to analyst work and give a true perspective of things. Because even when I listen to some people in the UFC, you know, doing this analyst work, as good as they are, you can tell that they aren't always saying what they really want to say. It's like they're held back. I want to be that analyst that's giving a real perspective, that's not held back and just putting it out there, you know, and that's what I want to end up doing after this.
You know,
so
what?
I'm just trying to do that.
I think one of the main things, and when I even see guys go from Legacy or RFA, you know, and they get signed to the UFC, you're like, yeah, he made it. So it's like, honestly, it's like I want to see people get into the UFC, get a couple of fights or whatever there, and then, you know, get the push they need, get the publicity they need, and then be like, fuck this, I'm going somewhere to get paid. Like, you know what I mean? That's kind of where, like, what I want to see.
Like Connor's tweet.
Yeah. Thanks for
you gotta
the
do
cheese.
It like Connor's tweet.
Thanks for the cheese, and yeah. I'm out. You know, but I mean, like, I honestly think that's what it should be like now. I mean, or if other organizations were just at that level, that'd be cool. But it's like there's just this very satisfying thing in MMA where it's like make it to the UFC. You know, so whatever, fine.
Yeah.
I just want to see someone make it to the UFC, get the promotion they need, get everybody on board, and then be like Phil Davis going, fuck you guys, I am out. Because I know Phil is getting paid at Bellator, and Josh is getting paid, and Benson, they're all getting paid. And Emmanuel Newton fought last weekend, and people are like, whoa, is he cut? Oh, my God. And then they're like, no, dude, they let him fight elsewhere to get a tune-up fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's so cool about it, is that they are really open and they allow their fighters to do other things, and that's, you know, what you said, Evan, makes a lot of sense. You just want to see guys that you know and that you know have earned it to make it to that level of the UFC, but I'm starting to feel less and less like that because the UFC used to be an exclusive club, you know what I mean? And it's getting more and more common when you have guys like Mickey Gall making their debut and then getting into the UFC. And guys that just, you know, there's so many shows now. I mean, seriously, Evan, how many times do we talk about a card and half the people on the undercard, we don't even know who the hell they are?
Every time.
Yeah. They got a guy on there that I beat. And that another fight showed up and got on my record, them bastards. Marco Soto, and he's in the UFC. And I thought that he must have fought a lot since we fought. And then I see that they had his record is like 3-1-1 or something. I'm like, what the fuck? And then, first of all, that record's wrong because he was more than that when we fought. But I'm like, man, that's all they have on record and they have him in there? I knocked that guy clean out in the first round, you know? And then speaking of Sherdog, I got to put it on air. I hate them motherfuckers. I want you to know they got a fight on my record. They missing hella wins and they got a loss on my record of an exhibition fight that I did that's not even a fucking fight that my management sent the contract to saying it's an exhibition fight and everything, and they will not take it off.
Oh, man, you still going through it with Sherdog, huh?
Dude, we sent them hella stuff. A promoter sent them fights that I've had, everything. They still won't change anything. They added, like, since all this fighting with them, they added one draw that I had on there and then put an exhibition fight on there as a loss and didn't add any other shit of other fights my management sent them or an actual promoter sent them. And I'm like, okay, because they were like, first they were like, give the tape. And I'm like, Jeff, I gave you my videos a long time ago, my only copies when I was new to this. You lost them. You already told my coaches that everything, so now they know. He's like, okay, we'll get a promoter to say some of the guys you fought and shit. So then we get the promoter to give that till how I won, what round, what time, all the stuff they asked for, and it still never got added. And I'm like, dude, I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm like one of the best paid people not in UFC and Bellator. you know, probably the best paid person, not in UFC and Bellator out here in the U.S. But so I'm like, it's all good. The promoters already know me in all the fights I had, so they paying me well. But it still bothers me that those guys are like on some bullshit, you know, absolute bullshit. You know, Jeff don't even work there no more. When Jeff Sherwood, the creator of Sherdog, leaves Sherdog, you know that's some bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I saw that this week, but I don't know what Jeff's going to do. I'm assuming that he had like a sell Sherdog and then have a 5-year deal, like where he just stayed on and didn't really do anything. And then it was like, all right, I guess I'm done.
Well, I guess the Crave terminated him,
but no one else.
Yeah, that's what I when I heard his interview on the MMA Hour and all that. Basically, he was let go. He was released. He was fired.
Of his own shit. That's cold.
Here's what happened. Was like, a while back, he sold, because of the online stores, kind of how they paid for everybody and did everything, you know, all the DVD sales and all that. When those videos started selling at Walmart for $5, it undercut his ability to, you know, pay the writers and everything. So they sold, basically, the site to Crave Online. And he had a contract with Crave to continue on at the site, and Crave decided that they were going to make some changes, and he was the change they were going to make, and they fired him.
Damn, the creator. And it's still called Sherdog.com.
Yeah, that's the thing. People were asking him, you know, is it weird for you that you created it, and it's called Sherdog and everything, and you've been released? And he's like, well, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it exactly, and... I mean, it was all still pretty new. I listened to his podcast with TJ DeSantis, his last one, where it was like his actual last duty as an employee of SureDog.com, and it was pretty emotional. And then he was on the MMA Hour, and yeah, I mean, they basically said, yeah, we know you're the founder, the creator, basically the guy who carried it, but you're fired.
Damn, he should have just went like straight out of Compton on them.
I know, he handled a hell of a lot better than I would have.
Hell yeah.
I don't give a shit. You fucking fired me. I'm going to say whatever I want to say now. But nah, he handled it pretty well. He was like, well, yeah, I can't really talk about it, blah, blah, blah. I'd have been like, fuck these guys. This is my shit. Sherdog was my nickname in high school.
That's what happens, though. When you sell, that's what happens.
That's true.
I mean, they don't give a shit. My father-in-law started Trans World Skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing magazines. He sold it for like $400 million or whatever the fuck they bought for. And afterwards, he had some things. They don't give a shit what he's got to say. Here's your $400 million, and go away.
No shit.
That's it.
I pray for the day that we can sell Crimson Canvas and then I get fired.
$400, people. $400, and we're out.
We will sell this for a case of Charleston Chews and a 12-pack of A&W root beer right now.
Shit, yeah. Fucking, I'm down. Now, hey, yesterday, real quick, because I know, God, Dom is one of the easy interviews. He asked one question, and he'd just go. But you had said something, oh, he watches this, and so do I. Like,
I saw that he had a tweet that was just a hashtag, and it was 60 days in. Do you watch that show, Dom?
Yeah, I watch that.
God, I love that show, dude.
Me too, man. They need to put me up in there, man. I'd be like Al Capone or somebody running that damn jail. I was like, man, that jail's the weakest jail ever, and those people suck. You ever watch Scared Straight or Beyond?
Oh, hell yeah.
Straight?
I love that show.
Dude, now that's a real jail. That's like a prison. I'd be up in there crying like, dude, but the one they got on 60 Days In, I'm like, dude, they remind me of, like, when I was in New Orleans and Oakland when I was younger, you know, like, all the dudes that would come to the hood wanting to be part of the clique, you know? It's like, not even a real jail. I was like, these dudes are scared. And then that dude got beat up.
He took a shot, and I was like, he's off the show. And that one guy went to segregation and basically lost his shit. And now he's got to go back to Gin Pop, and he's scared
dude,
to death.
That dude that was in segregation, he's crazier than the inmates.
Oh, dude, that guy literally went from being a semi-normal jackass to just an absolute crazy person in segregation.
No, did you notice how he got ripped as hell, though? First, he was just skinny with no muscles. Now he's all, like,
yeah,
cut. Why are you more ripped than me and I'm in fight camp?
Man, there's something in that commissary.
Jail. Man, all he's doing is eating, bunking up, and working out. He was doing upside-down push-ups. I was like, dude, I need to go to jail to get in shape. That motherfucker was ripped.
I was happy I saw you post that, because I texted Evan. I was like, dude, he watches 60 Days In. I love that show.
Me too, man. It's just hilarious to me. Half the inmates of 60 Days In remind me of UFC fighters. They act tough, but they shook, you know? I'm like, man, I feel like it's the whole cat roster of the UFC up in that show.
That's hilarious. You know? I feel like Zach is the only, like, legitimate, you know, guy who can carry himself in there. The rest of them are all scared to death.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And now they got moved to that pod. That's a little bit crazier.
Yeah, they went from the C pod to the D pod. That's, yeah. I'm glad you watch it. I'm glad we had something we could talk about. I was excited when I saw you post that.
Yeah, I like that.
I never even heard of it.
Well, you got to get on it. There's a marathon on it tonight, Evan. You can catch up with, like, all previous 9 episodes.
Maybe I'll get in on it. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't have to watch it all to get it. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's entertaining, though. There's a lot of dipshits in there.
All right, Dom. Well, we've had you on for long enough. I know you could probably keep going forever, but we'll let you go and get back to doing what you got to do. But you know how we do it. Want you to say whatever you want to say here, plug whatever you want to plug, find out where people can find you, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, your radio show, whatever, where people can.
Oh, you know, I'm from the hood, so this, you know my shout outs be long, dog. But you know, I gotta always say thank you to you. We gotta get this going more often, man. You know, and talk more often. When you're in Vegas, you already know you got a place to stay, man. That's both of you guys. So hopefully, I get in UFC. Y'all come out see me. You know, put the knickknack paddywhack on somebody. You know, but you know. First of all, UFC Fight Pass, June 12th, Pancrase. They got to watch it. I'm on there. Find some dude named Chris Man that be coming out in pink feathers like a flamingo and shit. Then I got my boy James on the card, my management did, and what's he find? Remember Hiromitsu Miura that fought Carlos Condit at WEC?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fighting him. That dude took 5 years off and went to pro boxing, coming back to MMA. So James is fighting him. So everybody got to check us out on that. And then we got Samsar Management, my management, Tree Viegas and Crystal Glass, so they're taking care of everybody. If somebody wants some real management out there, get paid, travel the world, holla at them. You know what I mean? You can find them all over my social media. And then TMT, Money Team, only MMA fighter on that team, your boy. So got to give shout out to them. My boys over in Thailand who kept top team and Syndicate MMA, John Wood and the boys out here in Vegas. Bathroom, Pat Militech always mentoring me. Look out, got to give love. My boy Spill, Patrick Hetty, got to give love. And then my sponsors, Palmer Electric, Mealtime, Garden of Life, Egg White 24/7, Unbreakable Mouthpieces out there in Cali. That was my first sponsor ever. They still with me. You know what I mean? And Beyond Beauty by Kim, that's my top sponsor. She take care of everything for me. You know, I got to say thank you, thank you, thank you to her. She helped me so much. And then therealfallenangel.com, at fallenangel510. Find me everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, bug the fuck out of Dana White. Be like, I want that real shit up in there. Just put me and him in all your acts, like at least 5 times a week, like 1 time a fucking day. You know what I mean? Let them know you want some hitters in there. You know, they need some chocolate, too. The ladies, they love that shit, you know? So let them know. So holla at your boy.
All right, well, I mean, I can't really follow up with that.
Yeah, so. You can't follow up.
So that's our show. Appreciate you coming on, Dom, and we'll see y'all next week. How about that?
All right, and check out my sponsors on my website, too. I got more on there that take care of me. Support them all. They give you a discount if you tell them you were Team Robinson. I got to show them love, too.